So now we are developing the idea of Anshei Knesset HaGdoila. So who are Anshei Knesset HaGdoila? So Anshei Knesset HaGdoila are the people who established the Second Commonwealth. We know that this is the Jewish institution that Chazal portrayed, that there were 120 people, and we saw 85 were Chachomim, were sages, Torah Sheba'al Peh, 35 they were Nevi'im, right? So it was the transitional moment that existed in the establishment of the Second Temple, right? Ezra, when Ezra comes, this is Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, the Pasuk enumerates sometimes names of people. Chazal say Mordechai was there, right? Mordechai is one of the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila. And this is the beginning of the era of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Now, we know that Chazal say that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Matan Torah by Har Sinai, it says in the Gemara, Kof Alim Har Kegigiz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to force upon the Jews. He took the mountain and he leaned the mountain onto them and he forced them to be Mekabel Torah. So, Tosfos already asked that question. One second, they said Nase V'Nishma, right? So what's the problem? Why did they have to force them? So Medrash Tanhuma says they said Nase Nishma on the written Torah. On the oral Torah, Torah Sheba'al Peh, that requires much more work, much more effort. It's a much more of an active thing. They did not accept it willingly. They were basically forced upon. And according to Chazal, this was accepted, the acceptance of Torah Sheba'al Peh. The Yontov of Torah Sheba'al Peh is Purim. Purim, they said, Kimu Vekibulu, Kimu Mashikibulu Kvar. So this is Chazal were trying to now stylize the idea of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Why Torah Sheba'al Peh becomes the lingua franca, starting from Golus Bavel all the way to now. Before there was Torah Sheba'al Peh, but as we saw last time by Reb Tzodek in Neicholis, it was Torah Sheba'al Peh, but that wasn't the focus of the generation. And Rabbinical Judaism, which is Torah Sheba'al Peh, starts in its full form that we are acquainted with during the Churban of Bayis Rishon in Bavel, right? So Chazal portrayed, they say, why? Because they were mekabel Torah Sheba'al Peh at that time. Rabbi Yoshi Be'er already wants to say that perhaps it already started by Gnizas HaOrid, by Yeshayahu, when the Aron HaKodesh, when the Ark was hidden, it was a sign, min ha-shamayim, that the Torah Shebichsav, which is the concept of the Luchos, will be buried away, which is the cessation of prophecy. Chazal are built that the beginning of the year of Torah Sheba'al Peh is a fundamental, critical change in Weltanschauung, meaning how people view the world. It's not. It's the cessation of Nevuah, cessation of prophecy. It's the beginning of Torah Sheba'al Peh with all of Rabbinical Judaism, as you'll see, the droshes, the Yiddishkeit that we're familiar with. Okay? This is that beginning. It's also the beginning of the approach that changes throughout the world. As I told you, this is called the axial age in historical terms. The axis of the earth changed. Instead of having a religion that God comes to people, is a religion that people come and elevate and transcend Hashem. And we're going to see that how many differences. And this is a fundamental difference from before. And we're going to see how it evolved. You see that this evolved to a point that not only humans now had an input, but the input of humans was greater than the input of Hashem. It's called Lo Bashamayim. That in the end, now, not only the humans have an input, the humans have the interpretation, the humans are a partner on the giving of the Torah, perhaps they become the leading partner. But that's only later in the generations. You'll see how this evolved through time. Anshei Knesset HaGdoila is that merge that happened here. We are going to see what they did. Anshei Knesset HaGdoila spanned for a long time. We are going to see that the Mishnah says that Anshei Knesset HaGdoila did function as a body for all the time. We don't know. But Chazal portrayed that Anshei Knesset HaGdoila remained all the way until when? Until Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik is the founder of Pharisees, of the Purushim. He's the founder of what's called the generation of Torah Sheba'al Peh. He is the founder of that. And we're going to see when it happened. And Chazal always will say, will position this in the world with an entire process with it. Now, as you'll see today, when Chazal tell you about Torah Shebal Peh, cessation of prophecy, the beginning of rabbinical Judaism, they actually don't credit it to Shimon HaTzadik. You know who they credit it to? To Alexander the Great. I have the Brisa. You're going to see the Brisa in the days of Alexander the Great. It's the days that the prophecy stopped from the Jewish people and we were given Torah Shebal Peh to replace it. Yes. Yes, he's the Shimon HaTzadik girl. He's the Shimon HaTzadik who actually meets, and we're going to see today, he meets Alexander the Great. Because in this mystical, we're going to talk about it. This is what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about hundreds of years. Always the Ben HaShmoshes. This is called, and you realize something, every transition in Jewish history, which is called in good English a periodization. Periodization is when history goes smoothly and then it breaks. There is some kind of a break in history. This is called periodization. That one period there is a process and it breaks into something else. Always Chazal understand that there is always some kind of a connection moment which is called the Bein HaShmoshes, the transitional moment, the twilight zone. So we had prophecy, and from prophecy we go to a generation of learning of an analytical world that God doesn't come to people, people go to God. There is a transitional moment, and the transitional moment is from perhaps from Yoshio all the way to the end of Anshe Knesset HaGdola, which is hundreds of years. But this is Anshe Knesset HaGdola. Anshe Knesset HaGdola is called a period. We're going to see that they said what we know from Anshe Knesset HaGdola, what they did. They were the ones who did something called the Nusach HaTfilah. They did the text of davening. Because davening is that idea of humans approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a set formula. That's Anshe Knesset HaGdola. In other words, why did they do 120? I told you, simple pshat is because 35 and 85. That comes out that that's 120. But also 120 is the idea also, as we've spoken so many times, and I'm going to mention again, the Shem Elohim factorial. If you take Elohim, Aleph, Lamed, Hey, Yud, Mem, and you factor it, meaning 1 times 2 times 3 times 4 times 5, which is all the possible permutations, how much is it altogether? 120. So they wanted to create the true diversity of Klal Yisrael. The ultimate diversity is always 120. It's the Shleimus of diversity. So if there was a body that was representative of the Jewish people in its true form of diversity, it's Anshe Knesset HaGdola. By the way, Chazal are going to say why they are called Gdoila. So let's look first at the Gemara in Yuma, the Samech Tes Amud Beis. By the way, Samech Tes Amud Beis is a amazing daf. This is the daf that talks about all the transition. We're going to learn the different aspects of it. But first I want to start at the last six lines. The Gemara is trying to explain a pasuk. The pasuk says, if you look in line two before, V'omar Rav Chisda Be'ezras Noshi Vayvorech Ezra Et Hashem Ha'elokim Hagadol. Ezra blessed the God which is great. And the Gemara wants to understand why Ezra blessed Elohim, which was Godol, which was great. What's great? What did they see the greatness? So the Gemara says, which is six lines from the bottom, V'rav Masno Marakela Godol Agibor V'anoira. Okay? V'had Rav Godol means that they said in davening, Hakel Hagodol Hagibor V'anoira. The reason they are called Anshe Knesset Hashem HaGodol is because they gave a title to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Godol Gibor Venoira. We had the Rav Masna Matir Rabbi Shem Ben Levi. This coincides with the view of Rabbi Shem Ben Levi. The Rabbi Shem Ben Levi, Lama Nikra Shman Anshe Knesset HaGdoila. Why they are called the Great Assembly? What makes them great? You realize that they are always great. I always think that we Jews are always very keen, we're fans of hyperboles, like say great, the best Shabbos. So Chazal, we're not such fans. So Ezra calls Elohim HaGodol the great God. But so he says great God because they called him Akel HaGodol Gibor V'Anoira. But Rabbi Shimon ben Levi said, interestingly enough, Anshei Knesset HaGdol is called the people of the Great Assembly. What makes them great? Says the Gemara, Shechziru HaTorah LeYoshna. Because they were able to bring the crown back to its place. If you look in Chumash, God is called the Godol, the Great, the Powerful, and the Fearful. Osir Mio, but as Nevuah took place, V'omar nochri mekarkri mechol, Yirmiyahu saw the beginning of the Churban. It says that goyim playing in the Deichal, Ayin Noroisav. You can't call God fearful. People don't fear him. Loi omar noira. So if you look at Yirmiyahu, he calls God HaKoel HaGodol HaGiboyer. He dropped noira. He says that's not true. We see that that's not true. Osa Daniel, omar nochri mishtabdim bebonov. Now the goyim not only go ahead and invade the Deichal, they're actually turning the Jews into slaves. Daniel served the king. Ayi gvuroisav, that's the power of God. So God is a powerful. Loi omar gibor. So he only called Hakel Hagodol. Osu inu veomru. So Anshei Knesset HaGdol says, we are going to bring back Adarabba. No. You guys are wrong. He gvurosai. This is, God is powerful. Shekoi v'shetitzroi, the fact that God could hold himself back. Erech hapayim l'rashoyim, the God goes ahead and he lets the goyim do what they want. That's powerfulness. Because if he wouldn't be powerful, he would go ahead and destroy them right away. The fact that he could hold himself back, that's the power. Ve'elohem neroisav, and God is fearful also. What's the fear? Even though you see goyim, like insulting God, still, Shilmale Moirosh LaKudosh Baruch Hu, because had not it been that they were afraid of God, how can a little nation survive among so many nations? So there's no, even though it appears that God is not fearful, there is an inner subconscious fear that they have. So what did they say? So they brought back, in Shmoneser we say, Akila Godol Agibor Vanoira. The prophets couldn't say it. Anshei Knesset HaGdol, they're called great, they're called Godol, because Godol was the only name that was remained in God, the only quality of God that was before. That's why they call Anshei Knesset HaGdol. And the question that's obvious is, 1 second.
That is the word that's left.
Yes, first of all, that's the world that's left. That's number one, the Gdola, and that's the one that's there. And not only that, why? The Nevim couldn't say this? It's such big Chidushim? But the answer is very simple. The Nevim were the world of prophecy. They related to the world of visual, of clarity. They could not say something that you didn't see. So Godol, greatness of God, there is greatness. But fear and power, it was not obvious. You saw Gedula, because Godol is chesed, God gives a lot of people, but the people should be afraid of him. The God should be powerful, Midas Adin. They didn't see that. They couldn't say it. Anshei Knesset HaGdol are the ones who say, you do not have to say what you see. You have to see in between. You have to understand. You have to go ahead and perceive. It's the world of perception. And they said, Godol is there. But the same way that you could see Godol, Godol is greatness, right? Greatness means that not only greatness in power, but greatness in depth. So they took the Godol. The Levim saw a lot, but they only saw what they could see in the surface. They went into depth, which is the concept of Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh is the world of understanding that it does not actually relate to the world of visual. Can I give you an example? I think there's a great example to this. You know that many times there is a kri and a ksiv. The pasuk is written in one way, but we have a tradition to read it differently. That's the tradition of Ezra. Ezra is the one who gave us something called the Mesorah. The Mesorah is the tradition that sometimes the Chumash says one way, or the Nach, and we read differently. But sometimes what's written and what we read are opposites of each other. The word law. The word law could mean to him with a vav, or could mean not with an aleph. One typical example of this is a pasuk in Tehillim by Yom Kippur. It says, Yomim Yutzaru, God created many days, veloy echad bohem. So the Pasuk in Tehillim is written with an Aleph, which means to say that not one day belongs to God. God created many days, but not one day belongs to Him. Chazal come, and they say the tradition is to read it with a Vov, to say Velo, to Him, one day does belong. What day is it? Is Yom Kippur. That's what Medrash Tehillim says. And the Kasha is such an obvious question. The Pasuk says Lo with an Aleph means not a day belongs to Him. And Chazal tell you that the tradition is to read the opposite? Why doesn't the Pasuk write the opposite? So I heard from Shlomo Fisher. He says, the Gemara asks in one place this contradiction. It says about a house built in a city with a wall. Bait beir asher lo choma. A house in a city. So the simple, if you read the Pasuk, the law is with an Aleph. It says, a house in a city that does not have a wall. But the tradition is to read the opposite, a house in a city which does have a wall, lo with a vav. But that's the only Gemara that asks. Ksiv loy, it's written lo with an Aleph, ve karina loy, and you read la with a vav, it's the opposite. Why doesn't the Pasuk write? Pasuk says it has no wall, and we read that it does have a wall. Answers the Gemara Megillah to tell you, afal pishen lo achshav, that a bais batei rechoim, a city, in a house in the city with a wall, includes a city which doesn't have a wall today, but it had a wall in the past. Even the time of Yeshua, so like it's almost like I say, a Jewish compromise. Says loy with an aleph, and we read loy with a vav to tell you that today it doesn't have, but it had in the past. Jewish compromise. Says Rav Shlomo Fisher, that doesn't make sense. This is the way to write a compromise. He says, if you understand the Gemara, we're saying something else. Loy with an aleph says, in Torah Shebichsav, in the written Torah, which relates to the world of visual, the world that you could see, which is the world of prophecy, is with an aleph. In the world of Torah Shebal Peh, which is the world of understanding, of perception, is with a vav. So it's a wall that in the physical sense, it does not exist, but in the virtual sense, it does exist. In Torah Shebichsav doesn't have a wall, but in Torah Shebal Peh, it does have a wall. How is it? It's a wall in the city that if you look at it, doesn't have a wall. But if you go into history, if you do some research, you realize that it didn't have a wall. So it has a virtual wall, doesn't have a physical wall. Torah Shebichsav is visual, is what you see. It's prophecy. Prophecy is clarity. Chazon Yeshayahu is the vision of Yeshayahu. Torah Shebal Peh is even if you don't see, you could research, you could understand, is virtual, is vicarious. That's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur Torah Shebichsav says, Veloy Echad Bem. All the days belong, don't belong to Hashem. Yom Kippur, you go, the stock market is open. You don't see the subways run the same way. Maybe there's a little less traffic. It's the same thing. But if you understand it, the Torah Shebal Peh, you realize Yom Kippur is yet different. So the Torah Shebal Peh says, Veloy with a Vov, Veloy Echad Bem, that one day does belong to Hashem Yom Kippur. Torah Shebichsav tells it doesn't. The same thing is this. The prophet said, we see greatness of Hashem because He gives you chesed, but we don't see fear, we don't see power. We can't say that. Anshe Knesset Agdoila said, now we come to a generation that you don't relate to what you see, you relate to what you understand. This is the beginning of understanding. Ksav Seichel Mefirash. That's why the Pasuk says it's the beginning of Pirush, of interpretation. It's not what you see, it's how you see it. That's why it's called Anshe Knesset Agdoila, because they took greatness not only in the specter of vision on their sides and how much they saw, but how deep they saw. That is Anshe Knesset Agdoila. So that's why it's called Anshe Knesset Agdoila, Shechziru HaTorah LeYoshna. Okay? Chazal understand that they are the ones, we're going to see something fascinating. You know, there has always been a question. Tehillim talks about things that were very much later than David HaMelech. Al Naro is Bovel Sham Yashamnu Gam Vachinu Bezochrein Etziyot. Now David HaMelech is writing about the Churban HaBayis. How do you deal with the Psukim and the Prokim in Tehillim, which appear to be so anachronistic to the issues of David HaMelech. There are many other ones like this, but one which is blatant is Tehillim. How do you deal with that? So if you look at the next page, this is a question that everybody did it. If you look at the Malbim Zeh says like this, Lo yedovar zar beinecha. He says, there were things added to Tehillim. And don't think that that's strange. Ki ken timotze bechazal, שאומר בפרק אבל פסוכה בשם רבי אלעזר בן עזריה שהלגוד לחזקיה אומרו, the הלגוד which is in Tehillim, the attribute to חזקיה. וכן פירשת ונסנחרם, you realize that that doesn't talk about David המלך. The הלגוד that we say talks about סנחרם. וכן תימוצר מפושם הכוי ופושם על דרך הפשט וחלמוקים וחוספתי זה לא גומר לינו תנוס המליגים. The reason I'm writing this is because people in the top of the Malbim is trying to, forever trying to answer, or the Maskilim. And he says they make fun of us. Lemor, איך ייתכן כי מי דוד בוד המלכוס על תוקפה וישראל על אדמוס? How is it possible that in the time of David HaMelech, when the Jews were in Eretz Yisrael, ועוד לא נגזר הגזירה, there was not even a gzera of the Churban, וכבר שור על הדוחם באיפו למלכוס וגולוס את קיו? פרק אינטס, בואו גויים בנחלוסיך, תימוסיך על קודשיך, סומס ירושלים לאים. It's talking about the Churban? David HaMelech, when he's writing to Tehillim, he's writing about the Churban? Forget about Dallas Bavel, right? And he says, Vishivosa Mahanaru is Bovel, Vikilosem is Bovel, Vesmeyedom, and we're Mekal Edom. Bovel, what does David HaMelech know about them? Adoli Chotu Velo Yeshu Vechadoy Melatainus, Verkem Pirashi Lifi Apshat. So it says to Malbim, I'm trying to answer Piapshat. Listo Pea Misoyer Vanoifim, Kamshe Chazal Shneemar, Sefer Zeh Asor Eskenim, Obdei Mitoch HaMeikorach Basav, וחלוקים על ידוסון. What the Chazal say in the Gemara Pesachim, that there were 10 skenim, the rots Sefer Tehillim, and they were always prior to David. Ein ech rashi hakol b'mi David. He says Tehillim was put up in time, was collected in time. Ki kolot sheaita nevua b'Yisrael, ot haita neviim, malachi ze Ezra, ze ya tzinor patuach. As long as prophecy was open, the gates were open. So the gates of prophecy were open, so all the people attached to the channels, and the channels of prophecy were open, so different people in later generations added to it. Hamishoyrim azo b'ruch Hashem b'divreim kodesh ad Ezra, until Ezra, because Ezra is the end of prophecy. Ad shechosem kisvei kodesh b'lado samalim devar, and after Ezra, there was no more prophecy. Kol zeh defi derech hapshat, this is the posh pshat. Asher b'msilose alach d'fershein, says the Malbim, I am explaining the pshat. Okay, k'zeh samti b'matora. Now, Ulam, just skip to the next line. Ulam etzlein emun ha'oymen kishim imporim ha'toyra. But it's possible that David HaMelech did say the prophecy. Ukifi derech hadrush v'remez ha'kabola ka'mizborim alaru kvar tzofu b'mach zanevim. It's possible to say that David HaMelech did this. Because the Malbim was saying, I'm saying something that looks like kfira, to say the people added to it. So, if you don't like it, you could say David HaMelech had a nevua and he saw the churban. בואו גויים מנחלוסיך, תימסיך לקודשיך, סבי של שלהם לין, you could say that, ובשורים ניקורך מצב בידו, וגדוזים וצפונים ביד אנשי, ביד אנושים, ובדי אנשי רוח. Perhaps this thing was hidden, people didn't know. So you see that he has this ambivalence. Was it added later? But maybe, perhaps not. Now, the Ibn Ezra, ויש אחרי רואים, יקים בספר הזה נבואה לאוסיד. The Ibn Ezra also quotes the same issue, because the Ibn Ezra is also bothered. How can Tehillim discuss about things that never happened? So it's possible, it's not Nevuah, it's together with Nevius. Also says the Ibn Ezra, the one who wrote it is somebody in Bavel, much later wrote Al Naris Bavel. Even the Ibn Korach, it's not the Ibn Korach that the Korach is somebody in Bavel. ודברים יורה לגולוס, and so you see the psukim by Bnei Korach, they're talking about golos, so they're talking about something much later. ולמוד זה ככה בדברי דוד, ויאמר כי גם אוסף שמוהירה רבי בובל, איבי מזמור לאוסף, אוסף was also later, ונינו אוסף נצח בשבן דוד, זנעד דה אוסף בבן דוד, וככה את הנזרוכי, says later people. This is, so till now we had two ideas. The Ibn Ezra says later people, and the Malbim. Now you're going to see something which is Givaldic, and that's our Kabbalah, that's the Groi Mishlei. The Groi Mishlei says, and go back to the first source page, The Pasuk says in Perek Chof Dalet, Pasuk Chof Gimel, Gam Eile Lachachomim, even this is the Chachomim, Haker Ponim Bamishpat Baltoiv. So he says, what's Gam Eile Lachachomim? The Pasuk says, even this belongs to the Chachomim. Says the Gro, and this is a Gro that we must know. Ki Anshe Knesses Agdoile Shem Shisdira Tanach. The Tanakh was written by different people, but the ones who canonized them were Anshe Knesset Agdoila. Ubetehilim Shenemar al pi David Beruach HaKodesh, Tehilim, which was a sefer written by David, Sidru Sham Anshe Knesset Agdoila, added to the sefer of Tehilim, Sheari Inyoni HaShevach Ve'idola Kelis Baruch, any kind of praises, is a book of poetry, is a book of songs. Anybody else who did something which is in the same channel, in the same genre, in the same style of Tehillim, Anshe Knesset Agdoila put it together. Asher chubar di shear anoshim b'ruach hakodesh, they saw other people did something the same style, they put it together. Uberoy shoisem advarim, and therefore when they put it in the title, they put the name of the author. Kosu shema mechaber kmo mizmor le'asav u'tefila le'moshe v'domeim. They went ahead. They call Eila, the post, says Lachachomim, the one who put the Sforim together, who canonized the books, Lachachomim. Kisvei HaKodesh, the 24, except for Chamisha Chumashi Torah, the ones who put together the books, the ones who canonized, who turned them into works, is Anshe Knesset Agdoila. So it's the work of Chachomim, because they canonized, they concluded, they sealed prophecy, so they turned all the prophecies into books. They are the ones who did it. So when they put Tehillim, they said, okay, we're going to add to Tehillim anything which is in the same channel, in the same genre, in the same style. And they put a title, Mizmor Le'asav, Mizmor Le'Heman HaEzrachi. That's what they did. Vechen, but this is not unique to Tehillim. B'Mishlei, Mishlei is wisdom literature. Osvu Kol HaChachom HaZemusar, they added to Mishlei, Mishlei Shloimei. But they added all wisdom literature to Mishlei. Hanogei al avodas Hashem Yisborach. Ubasof haSefer Kofru Divrei Ogav v'Gam Divrei Mu'el. They added different wisdom pieces for different people. Kmo shekotzev kaman v'ezer shomar kan. This is what the Pasuk says. Gam eile lachachomim k'loim er chachomim chibru ze b'ruach hakodesh. This Sefer, the chachomim period. So this is the beginning. Torah Shebaal Peh, the first work that they did was exactly canonizing Torah Shebichsav. And that's why he has afterwards Mishlei, right after this psukim, he says, this also are Mishlei Shloimei, they are the parables of Shloimei, because Chachomi, the Anshe Knesset Agdoila, added different sages. So when they go back to Shloimei, they say, okay, this belongs to Shloimei. So the ones who canonized Kisvei HaKodesh, whose work is Kisvei HaKodesh, is Anshe Knesset Agdoila. So Anshe Knesset Agdoila are the ones who turned Tanakh into Tanakh. And they rejected the Sforim Achitzoinim, which is Apocrypha. They are the ones who decided what is Ruach HaKodesh and what's not said in Ruach HaKodesh. But the Zohar is much later. One second, let's not mix it. We will talk about it. I don't want to mix it. The Zohar is much later. We'll get there. We'll get to the Zohar, which is what's our tradition. But here's the Gro. This is the tradition of the Gro. So what to the Malbim appeared to be like some radical idea that people put on, or the Ibn Ezra, the Gro says, second, this is a Pasuk in Mishlei. The Pasuk in Mishlei tells you, Gam Eile LaChachomim. This form were made by the Chachomim. It's prophecy, but when you put it into a book to be learned and studied, it's Torah Shebaal Peh. So you realize that the Tanakh itself is a product of Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's why Christianity argues with Chazal of how many Sforim they are in Kisvei HaKodesh. You know that in Qumran, we found all the Kisvei HaKodesh similar to us. Because Qumran is much later, except for one Sefer. Esther. Because Esther is extremely controversial. And Esther is from the time of Anshe Knesset Agdoila. And as you know, Esther only became really part of Ruach HaKodesh. Kisvei HaKodesh when? By the time of Shmuel. By the time of Shmuel in the 3rd century of the Common Era. Here we're talking about the 5th century BCE. right? This is the year 400, right after the Churban, right after the Binyan HaBayis. Yes, 400, give or take. So this is like 600 years. The Gemara, this is something we'll get there. But the one, the Kisvei HaKodesh, that they were Nechtam the day Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, there was one book, what was, there were many books. Koheles, they wanted to bury. Koheles was a problem. Shir HaShirim was a problem. But the one that remained the biggest problem was what? Esther. Now why? Why was Esther so controversial? They took 700 years to canonize it. 600 years to canonize it.
God's not in it.
God's not in it. And the story is a difficult story, right? He's a lady that married to the king of Persia. So this became, the Gemara has Machloikis Shmuel. Shmuel was the view that Esther is, they have a mitzvah to read it, but it's not part of Kisvei HaKodesh. Now, can I ask you just before that? And what made something to Kisvei HaKodesh? Something to be scriptures. There were prophecies. What is the criterion for Kisvei HaKodesh? What makes it holy scriptures? What's the holiness of the scriptures? Chazal canonized Nach. What does a canonization make? Who cares, right? There were prophecies before. Afuch, according to Chazal, there were many more prophecies. And what makes something apocrypha or something part of the Tanakh? What is the, in Chazal, how did they create, how do they define a demarcation between Kisvei HaKodesh and non-Kisvei HaKodesh? The Gemara, the Mishnah in Adayim says, because Metames Hayadayim. If you touch Kisvei HaKodesh, you have to wash it with Hayadayim. Why? Because they were afraid that people would put Truma inside. So is Metame, it defiles the hands. If you touch Kisvei HaKodesh, it defiles the hands. And that's why the Mishnah in Yadayim says that the Tztukim said it's so funny. You tell me a Sefer is Metame Sayadayim and Homer, because Homer, the Odyssey, is not Metame Sayadayim. That was the time of the Tztukim. Kublani Alecha Prushim. The Tztukim say to the Prushim, I don't understand you. You're going to tell me the Kisvei HaKodesh Metame Sayadayim defiles the hands. If you touch Kisvei HaKodesh, you have to wash your hands. And if you touch Homer, you don't have to. Because you realize that's the second piece of literature that everybody knew is Homer. This is the Mishnah Yadayim. So this is Kisvei HaKodesh. But the ones who made it is Anshei Knesset HaGdoila. So Anshei Knesset HaGdoila is the cessation of Nevuah. We're going to see what. But they did. They were able to see God, even though God is not apparent. And they are the ones who canonized Kisvei HaKodesh. Yes?
Canonize the Tanakh. Does that mean that it has
to be inherently
consistent? You know, it's like the same, like formation of the Talmud.
Was there editing done? Was the editing done? Because there is editing. So they are saying, the Groy is saying, that they edit things. That this Groy, by the way, you should know that this is, it looks, for people, it appeared to be that this was controversial. But it's not controversial. The Groy says, it's not a portion. Now, how much editing did they do? The Posh Pshat, yes, they did, right? It's called Tikkun Soifrim, right? But it's hard to know what kind of editing. Now, is the Kri and the Ksiv editing, or is that a tradition? Because I told you, many psukim you could read one way and the written something else. Many times there are dots on tops on top of the words. The Chazal Darshan. The question is this an ancient form of editing? Because books, if you look in the ancient books, that's where the word edited. If you have a question, like a questionable letter, you didn't want to erase. So how did you do it? You put a dot on top. This is how the Greeks did. That was the system. That's how we know in different aspects of it.
When the Gemara is discussing some of the author of these various,
The Gemara in Baba Basra. The Baba Basra said this one, this, did that. Who wrote the original? Right?
I mean, there would have been some...
The Gemara in Baba Basra says that Anshei Knesset HaGdoila actually wrote a few books. They wrote the Niyal. many books were written by Anshe Knesset Gdoila. But the editing and putting together, no, because by the way, this will answer so many questions, right? There's so many, all this quote unquote anachronism in Tanakh. According to the Groh, Anshe Knesset Gdoila put it together. Chazal were trying to say the original work, because they did the editing, they put it together. The question, how extensive was the editing? So they canonized, they turned it into a book. Right, and you go and you have some kind of writings and somebody wants to put together into a book, they are the ones who put it into a book. They canonize the Tanakh. So that was partial for Chazal. Chazal only wanted to know the original text that they canonized. Lehavdil is like Rabbi. He put together the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva. So the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi put it together. We're going to see when we get to the Mishnah. This process, always there is Anshe Knesset Gdoila, the great editors of the Tanakh. And they added, that's why many Sforim, by the way, Daniel was written by Anshe Knesset Gdoila, which means it was written much later and probably included later things because Daniel talks about things that Daniel couldn't be part of it. Talks about in some maybe allusions to the Maccabees. So we'll talk about it. So it's not a simple thing to say, not the Maccabees, but the stories that were much later. So according to this, Chazal, the Groh is telling you, the editors, the Tanakh, the Chof Dalet Kisvei HaKodesh, right? Except for Chumash, Anshe Knesset Gdoila put it together. Yes?
If you're saying that Shmuel put Esther on the map.
Shmuel. Shmuel, the later Shmuel. He didn't put it in the map. He is debating. He doesn't hold that Kisvei HaKodesh. That was not, was, in other words, Esther as part of the Tanakh, was a debatable thing throughout, and it was only put to bed, basically, it was conclusively till the time of the Shmuel. In other words, to the first of the Amoraim. Until then, the Gemara. The Gemara, I told you, the Gemara after the Anshe Knesset Gdoila had a problem with Shir HaShirim, had a problem with Koheles. They wanted to bury them out. Say, okay, let's take it out. Let's suppress it. But the one that was not resolved until much later, until Shmuel, Esther.
But then you had Mishnah, which was before Shmuel, says that you have to read the Megillah.
So says Shmuel, Nitna Likris Vola Nitna Nichtov. You read it, but it's not Kisvei HaKodesh. That's what Shmuel is answering the Mishnah. It says yes. Doesn't have Kedusha. What's the Kedusha of Kisvei HaKodesh? What makes Kisvei HaKodesh different than Homer? The Tumas Hayadayim. Chazal wanted to show the Tumas Hayadayim. You realize something amazing, right? Makes it Kisvei HaKodesh. And it's Metames Hayadayim. Why Metames Hayadayim? To realize that this is not us. This is not what we should be doing. This is canonized. You touch it, you have to wash hands. This is not a work. This is, this defiles us and we defile it. That's Kisvei HaKodesh. That is such a message. The Kisvei HaKodesh, what makes it Kisvei HaKodesh, it defiles anybody who touches it. Any truma you put it, you have to burn it. That doesn't belong to us anymore. That is exactly Kisvei HaKodesh. You realize that this is Anshe Knesset Gdoila, right? And we're going to see something else in Anshe Knesset, because what I want to tell you, and we're going to learn the Maral, because in Pirkei Avos, Anshe Knesset Gdoila said three things. The three statements that we know about them is, Hevu Mesuni Mar Bebedin, you should be patient in the Deen. Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, you should raise many students. Vasu siag la Torah, and build a fence around the Torah. And you say, was like, this is Anshe Knesset Gdoila. They were the ones who made the Tanakh. They were the ones who understood God in a different way. This is what they say. This is the message. Those are three things. Meaning, what's nogia to all of us? And the Maral is going to explain that this is their approach to life. And that's what we're going to learn, because Pirkei Avos is the introduction to their work. Okay? So let's see. Says the Maral in Derech HaChaim, V'chelki ha'chochma hem shloisha. You realize that now the world goes to a world of wisdom, the world of understanding. Now, it's not what's shown to us, but how we interpret. It's the world of interpretation, the world of understanding. And Chazal understood that the pillars of understanding, there are three. Ven chokhma vebina vadas. There is wisdom, chokhma, there is being understanding, and there is knowledge, which is das. Shem nizkorim bechol mokim bakosav. If you look at any time the pasuk talks about intellectual activities, it talks about chokhma, bina, and das. So chokhma, bina, and das are the pillars of understanding according to the psukim. And Chazal explained, Rashi quotes by Bezalel, by Malo Yosef, Chochma b'bina b'das. So Chochma in bina, b'chochma b'tvuna. So Rashi explains the Chochma, according to Chazal, is like a shulchan, is like somebody who has a bank, and people give them a deposit. People give things to the bank. That's Chochma. Bina is like a shulchan, is like a money changer who gets money and breaks it down into change and gives change to people. Like when you go and you give, taking deposits, chokhma, taking money and exchanging into small denominations, bina. What does that mean? The idea of chokhma is the wisdom that's received from God. That's the wisdom that's received from Hashem. Bina is taking that understanding, that wisdom, and breaking it into understanding, breaking into pieces, having understanding is dovar mitoch dovar. Bina is taking something from something else, breaking into pieces, making understanding. Das, as you're going to see, is the ability to create differentiation, separation, to create clarity. Chochma, receiving the wisdom from God. Bina is taking our understanding of how to break it down, how to explain, and Das is using that knowledge to really create definition separation. Imein Das, Yerushalmi says that you say Havdolah Bechoinim Das. Why? Because Imein Das, Havdolah Minayim Das is the ability to discern, to separate. It's also the ability to connect. Das is connecting. Ve'odom Yodes Chavayishtoi. Connecting and separating, knowing how to discern, how to create a taxonomy. Das, says the Maharal like this. וכאשר ראו חיסור הדור בחוכמה, באון שקצת גדול ותיכון כל שלושתם. אנשי כנסת הגדול realized that now you have to use your intellect to get Torah. It's not enough to go ahead into some kind of a state of meditation, a meditative state to get prophecy. From now on, you have to use your intellectual abilities, which is חוכמה, בינה ודעת. ותיכון כל שלושתם. And the Mishnah, those three recipes, is how to make chokhma, bina, and das to function. Dehain achison shesh bechokhma, achison shesh bebina, vachason shesh bedas. Those three is to rectify, to fix the chisoron which there is in chokhma, the chisoron in bina, the chisoron in das. Kmo shiksu bakosuf, vemale oisoi bechokhma ubitvunu bedas. Like it says, Obetzal, vemale oisoi bechokhma ubitvunu bedas. Veoit ksiv, Hashem bechokhma yasad haaretz, konen shamayim bitvuna, בדעתו תוימס נקבעו. אוקיי? That's what it says. ותמצא בני אדם. So here you see by people. Now the Torah is human. So you see people שהם תוים בחוכמה. Sometimes there are people who are completely off in the חוכמה. שסבורוסם הפך הסבור המיתיס. They get the opposite of the real סבורה. ויש בני אדם אף כי יש להם סבור ישר נכון. כשבואים להבין דוב ותוך דוב על די פלפול, יש להם חיסון. Some people, they get the right understanding, but the time when they come to explain, to break it down, it breaks it down on them. והראשון נקרא חוכמה שהוא סבור הסלב. חוכמה is that inherent understanding, is the divine inspiration, the divine understanding. חוכמה is the divine understanding. And you know what the תיקון החוכמה is? Hevu mesunim badin. Be patient to listen. We're going to see when the Mishnah is going to introduce Torah Shebaalpeh. Torah Shebichsav, when there are prophets, was very easy. You get into a meditative state and you got a vision. Torah Shebaalpeh, you don't get into a meditative state. You get into a very active intellectual pursuit. So you know what's the first step to do? To listen. Be patient. Before judgment, don't make a judgment. Don't pass a judgment before you listen. That's the tikkun ha-chokhma. Because chokhma is the svara saliv, is the divine inspiration that you get to hear. But you have to be able to hear. I was used to go, they know the chisor, and I went to a yeshiva. And I remember the Rosh Yeshiva would start, Rav Shach, would start speaking for 2 seconds and people start arguing. And I'll say, a second, what are you arguing? He didn't even say anything. But people love to argue because people, it's very hard to listen. It's extremely hard to listen. So the first message was, Hevu Suni Badin. And then, how do you create Bina? How do you create understanding? How do you break it down? You need a lot of people. Because each one has a different understanding. Each one has a different approach. Hamidu Talmidim Harbe. If you want Bina to work, have many Talmidim. And to be able to use the inspiration and the understanding to bring to practice, to use Das to discern, you realize that Das would never work. Because we never understand enough to create a real differentiation. The world is just too many shades of gray. And therefore, you know what you have to do? Hasu siag la Torah. Never go to the border. If you want to use Das to be able to separate, you realize that Das would never work. You have to leave room for error. So Anshei Knesset HaGdolim, these three, they're telling us how to use Chochmah. Chochmah, how to use Chochmah? Inspiration? Mesunim Badin. Be patient to listen. Hamidu Bina. How do you use Bina? Hamidu Talmidim Arbe. The only way to have Bina is to have many Talmidim. Each one adds a different perspective, becomes a mosaic. How do you apply to Das to be able to create a taxonomy differentiation? Realize that you never be perfect. Therefore, leave room for error. Asu siag l'toira. That's what the Maral says. So says the Maral. Also, when they tried to break it down with pilpul, there was a chisoron. And there are people who have no das that you could have the chokhman, but you can't apply lemaise. That's why the din, to pass judgment, is svor. That's why you have to listen. And then he continues that. Okay? But this is basically how the Baral understands, and this is the beginning of Torah Shebal Peh. So Anshei Knesset HaGdolah told you, focus on how to retrain your brain. Prophecy, what it took for prophecy, it's not what it takes to actually practice Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh, you need Chochmah, Bina, and Das, which is first, the first step on Chochmah is Hevu Mesuni Badin, Amidu Talmidim Arbe, Vasu Siag LaTorah. Okay? Now the Mishnah continues and says that Shimon HaTzadik Aya Mishiore Knesset HaGdolah. But before we go into this, what did Anshei Knesset HaGdolah do the third thing? This, we just said that they instituted davening. They were the ones who understood Hashem in a different approach. They canonized Tanakh. What else did they do? So let's look at the Gemara before that we saw. The Gemara, the first source that we saw today, says the Gemara like this. And this is line 5. Vaitzaku el Hashem bekol godol. Always godol. They scream to Hashem with a very hot, very loud voice. My Omur, what did Anshei Knesset HaGdolah scream to Hashem? Omar Ravi Timar Rabbi Yochanan Baya Baya. They say, Oy, Hai de Achle Velimigdoshe Vekol Lechol. Look at the Yetzer Hara. He's the one who destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Vekatlinu Lechul Tzadikim. He destroyed the Tzadikim. Vaglinu Lisol Me'aroh. And Vadai Meraket Beinan. We have the Yetzer Hara still with us. Klub Yevi Salon. The Tota Kudosh Bohu. Why did you give us the Yetzer Hara? Lekabule Beigra. To get us Char. We don't want the Yetzirah and we don't want the Schar. Nofal lo piska mirkia, came out a little patek, came out of Nof from Shamayim that said that because of Bei Emes, you're right. So what Chazal did here, they destroyed the Yetzirah of Avodah Zorah. Because they realized that Avodah Zorah is what destroyed the Jewish people. We had the Churban, because the greatest people became attached to idolatry. They became pagans. So they asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't want this, and we don't want the reward. And Hashem told them, Emes. And the Gemara says there is always two Yetzer Horas. One Yetzirah is the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. What's the second Yetzirah? Lust and Taiva. They wanted, the Gemara says afterwards, that they wanted to mivatel the Yetzirah of Taiva, but they realized if that's the case, the world would not procreate. Even chickens didn't lay eggs. So they stopped. But they were mivatel the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. By the way, idolatry becomes destroyed in the whole world. This is the time of the Axial Age. The Vedas, which was Avodah Zarah, becomes interpreted by the Upanishads. That's not Avodah Zarah. That is truly an expression of unity. The Brahmins in the Upanishads. The Buddha reinterpreted the Vedas. The Avesta, which was the scripture of the Zoroastrians, was reinterpreted by the Zans. Everybody reinterpreted Avodah Zarah. That's the end of Avodah Zarah. Now, what happens to it? And I want to show you before we finish, because it's 10 o'clock, you have to make sure they have a minion. Look at the last source in the next page. V'omad melech giboyer ube'omdoi tishover. Hu Alexander Mokdom, this is Alexander the Great, shemalach yud beitshona. Alexander the Great was a king for a very short time, right? He was a king for 12 years. Ad kan, until Alexander the Great, hayu anevim misnabim beruach hakoidesh. The prophets had Ruach HaKodesh. Mikan ve'elach, from Alexander the Great on, hat oznecha, listen, ledivrei chachomim. Kishenemar ki noim ki tishme v'itnecha, v'ishtod Hashem yiftachecha. Right? This is the Brayis in Seder Olam. Right? The Brayis in Seder Olam. And then we're going to see the Bira Gro. So, Alexander the Great was the demarcation point of what stops Nevuah and prophecy in the Jewish people. Now, asks the Gro, look at the Gro. The Gro says in Bira Gro, Ad kan ayo nevim, the last line of the Bira Gro, they go to the text, it's Pirush, Mishehorgu Yetzerora, from the time that they killed the Yetzerora of Avodah Zarah, Botl HaNevuah, they lost the Nevuah. Yetzerora of Avodah Zarah was paganism, idolatry, was forces from the beyond. When we lost the war against the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us the counterpart of it. The counterpart was prophecy. So by destroying the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, we actually destroyed the ability of the counterpart, the Zeke Negedze, which is prophecy. Instead of that, we got what? We got Torah Shebal Peh. What is the counterpart of Torah Shebal Peh? Is Hellenism, Chazal understand. That's why, who is the founder, at what demarcation point is the beginning of Torah Shebal Peh? When is it? Is Alexander the Great. What's Alexander the Great? The founder of Hellenism, right? He's the one who spreads Greek philosophy as an ideology into the whole world. Chazal are saying that the two of them are together. So that's why, if you want to know at what moment in time is the cessation of prophecy and the beginning of the era of Torah Shebal Peh, Alexander the Great, the founder of Hellenism. Why? Because we lost it, we stopped Avodah Zarah. When we stopped Avodah Zarah, we lost prophecy. And the Gemara is going to say, who is the famous encounter that you have? Is Alexander the Great and Shimon HaTzadik. Because Shimon HaTzadik is Shiori Knesset HaGdolah. That's the beginning. And if you want to see, okay, like, give me 5 minutes, we'll see. No, I don't have it. We'll bring you. Did I make a copy? No, I didn't make. Yes, I did. Look at the last source. V'atane b'25 b'tev is yom argrizit ol misbed yom shebikshu kusim is beis elokeinu Alexander. The kusim, they wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and they asked Alexander the Great to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. V'nosnu lohem, and Alexander the Great agreed. They told Shimon HaTzadik, Ma'asa, what did Shimon HaTzadik do? Lavash bigde kehuna venisate bi bigde kehuna, umiyakir yisro limui vavuke shalor bideyem. He dressed as a Kohen Gadol. V'chol alaylo alalo olchim itzadze v'lalo olchim itzadze. The two of them were going different directions. He was going towards Alexander the Great, and Alexander the Great was coming towards Yerushalayim. Ad shalam udashachar, kim shem udashachar, amar le mi halalu. So Alexander the Great asks, who are these people? Omru lo Yehudim shemordu b'cho. These are the Jews of rebellion against the Greek Empire. Kiven shegi al Antiphras zor chacham. When he got to the river Antiphras, the sun rose. And they actually met, encountered Shimon HaTzadik and Alexander the Great. Kivan Sherol Shimon HaTzadik, Yorad Mimerkavto, Alexander the Great came out of his horse, Vishtacha Velefonav, and he bowed down to Shimon HaTzadik. Omru lo mele gadol kmotcha ishtacha veli yudizeh. Such a great king is going to bow down to a Jewish guy. Omalin dmus diyokno shalzeh. He says, his image of Shimon HaTzadik, menatzachat lefanai bivis milchamti. I see Shimon HaTzadik fighting and winning my wars. That's what Alexander the Great says. And the question is, what a funny thing. Shimon HaTzadik is the vision that Alexander the Great sees in his wars, that he's fighting and winning the battles on his behalf. What does he have to do with it? But according to what we just learned, makes a lot of sense. What is Shimon HaTzadik? He's the founder of Torah Shebal Peh, the Jewish people. Mishiori Knesset Agdoila. He is what's left of Knesset Agdoila. He's the beginning of Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh was giving force to the counterpart to come, which is Greek philosophy. So who was enabling Alexander the Great to take the world over and to spread Hellenism is because the time of Torah Shebal Peh had come. So Hashem made that message, gave that message to him, that Shimon HaTzadik is the one battling the battles on behalf of Alexander the Great. So it's interestingly enough that we in Torah Shebal Peh established the demarcation of Torah Shebal Peh through Alexander the Great, and Alexander the Great credits, according to us, Hellenism to Shimon HaTzadik. So isn't that like very ironic? But that's the world we get to believe. Our starting point, the demarcation point, Torah Shebal Peh, Alexander the Great in Hellenism, credit Shimon HaTzadik for it. So, Ibrahim Hashem, next week we're going to see what contribution did Shimon HaTzadik do? Why is he called a Tzadik? Meaning, why is the title Tzadik to this? And why Torah, avoiding Milus Chasodim, is his contribution to the first step of Torah Shebal Peh.